are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And my goodness, the San Francisco Giants are now 7-4 after this crazy, incredible game last night, beating the Cincinnati Reds 7-6. I've really never seen anything like this, or at least it's been a very long time. Kevin Gausman, the best Giants starting pitcher, goes out there in the first inning and allows four runs on two-run homers. So right away, I mean, going up against Reds ace Luis Castillo, you feel like you're in a world of trouble, even though Castillo hasn't pitched great so far in the 2021 season. But what do the Giants do? Well, with their, you know, struggling lineup, that's another thing, is like you're struggling to score runs and you're down 4-0 in the first inning against one of the better pitchers in baseball. It doesn't get a lot more bleak than that. But if you've been following this show, we talk a lot about how it looks like the Giants' offense is ready to break out, and that's what we saw yesterday. With Tommy La Stella, Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, Brandon Belt at the top of the lineup, that figures to be a really difficult way for opposing pitchers to start out their night. And that's what transpired on Tuesday, with Tommy La Stella getting his first of three hits on the night to lead off the first inning for the Giants, and then, my goodness, was this great to see. Mike Yastrzemski just rips a home run to right field that made it 4-2. So right away, you're feeling like the Giants are right back in this game. And for Yastrzemski, he had the day off on Monday, but going back to Sunday, his last at-bat, remember, was a ripped double down the right field line. So that made it two consecutive plate appearances that Yastrzemski just hit rockets to right field. And in fact, this home run that he hit was actually the hardest ball that he's ever hit as a major league player. It was like 109 miles an hour, which is really, really good. So that was a super encouraging sign. And as we have said, the offense has had a lot of encouraging signs. They're hitting the ball hard. They're hitting the ball at ideal launch angles, pretty much more than any other team in terms of the combination of those two things. So later in the inning, Evan Longoria singled and Brandon Crawford hit an opposite field bomb of his own that made it 4-4. So four home runs, four two-run homers in the first inning is the first time in Oracle Park history that there have been four home runs in the first inning. And I mean, that's not surprising. And I don't know if anybody looked, but to have four two-run homers in one inning or even like a game is pretty unusual. So anyway, the Giants were right back in the game, and then it became a very much back-and-forth affair. Both pitchers really settled in. Kevin Gausman ended up going six innings. Luis Castillo went five. Gausman retired, I think, the last 13 batters that he faced. Ended up with seven Ks in six innings. He did walk two, allowed five earned runs, only four hits, and most of those came in the first inning. So it's been a bit of an interesting start for Kevin Gausman. He's not getting the type of strikeout numbers that we saw last year, but the results have been overall good in three starts. He's got a 3.20 ERA, 3.40 fielding independent pitching, but if he starts allowing more of a league average rate of home runs, we should expect those numbers to potentially get worse. And the way you prevent that is you strike more people out. And so that's something that I need to see from Kevin Gausman moving forward. If he's going to have the type of dominant season that he had last year, he's going to have to strike more people out. Otherwise, I would expect that ERA to jump up. not to an awful level, but, you know, maybe in the mid to low fours as opposed to the low threes. So anyway, I was just super encouraged with this game overall. Giants improving to 7-4, and they have a chance today to make it a really, really good homestand. Of course, they swept the Rockies, and now they've won at least one game of this series. So if they win today, they're going to be 5-1 on this homestand. And if they lose, it's a 4-2 homestand after a 3-3 road trip to start the year. So that's a formula for success. The Giants are playing well. Unfortunately, they're in the NL West, where the Dodgers and the Padres figure to also be great. And so it's going to be tough. You know, looking around the league, the Giants at 7-4 would be at or near the top of every division in baseball, but they're trailing right now the 9-2 Dodgers and also the Padres. So coming up next, I want to dig deeper into some of these offensive numbers. We talked a lot about this yesterday as we evaluated the Giants through 10 games. So I want to talk about how one game in which the Giants collected 11 hits, 4 walks, they were on base a ton, hit for a lot of power. We had a double, a triple, and 3 home runs. And so I want to talk about how the actual results are now closer to lining up with the expected results. And we had a huge discrepancy going into the game. So that's all coming up next. But first, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. The taste is definitely the best part. But if you're a health-conscious person like me, the real kicker is that somehow they're very low in calories and low in sugar. I would not be eating a protein bar, frankly, that's high in sugar. But Built Bar manages to taste like a candy bar and be extremely low in sugar. Just to give you an example, the Cookies and Cream bar has 17 grams of protein and just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Built Bar has even reset the promo code for this relaunch. For a limited time, you can also get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, next I want to get into the weeds a little bit. I want to look at more of some individual players and also talk about how the actual results after just one game are now more aligned with the expected results based on the quality of contact, which we had said had been pretty good, but the actual results had been poor. And so that didn't make any sense. And if they continued to hit the ball like they were, we would expect better results. And that's kind of what we saw last night. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And actually, with our little videos that we're doing on Twitter, we have appeared on the Locked On Today podcast a few times in the last few days because the Giants have had these exciting wins. I'm doing these little 1-minute recaps, and those are making an appearance on that show. So that's exciting for me personally, of course, getting a little bit of national spotlight, and also for the Giants. I mean, that's what I said a couple weeks ago, that hopefully the Giants would become relevant again and appear on shows like that. But so yeah, I want to get into some of the numbers. The Giants winning this game 7-6, 11 hits, 4 walks. So the quality of the at-bats were really good last night. And you can honestly say that the quality of the at-bats were good enough to be a lot better, to have results that were a lot better than what we had seen from the Giants going into that game. I hope that made sense. So I do just want to say that overall, my impression of these San Francisco Giants through 11 games is kind of that they're actually as advertised. I know that the offense hasn't lived up to expectations thus far in terms of the results, but what I have seen from them is what I was saying going into the season a lot, which is that 1 through 26, they have guys who are going to contribute and provide value in the role that they're in. So pretty much whoever comes in on the pitching side, whoever comes to the plate on the offensive side, they all do something positive. They all have a role and they all contribute. And so I was talking with someone on Twitter before the game yesterday who they were asking about if the Giants' slow start could be attributed to them platooning so much because guys get inconsistent playing time. Like, for example, you might get just a couple of plate appearances as a starter, and then you're going to be replaced maybe in the fifth or sixth inning when a same-handed reliever comes in. And I think it's a legitimate question in terms of how they're starting, because if you're in a rut, it might be hard to break out of it if you're not getting enough reps. But at the same time, my response was that this is what they did last year, and they had great success. And it's a huge reason why they had great success offensively. But also, what I like about this approach is that it involves everybody every single night. So traditionally, in the Giants of old, they would have their 8 starting position players, and those were the guys who would play the whole game. You would get a couple pinch hitters probably for the pitcher spot, but that was it. And the way the Giants built their bench was that it was guys who weren't starting caliber players. And so the guys coming off the bench, you know, you'd have your Kelby Tomlinsons and your Gorkys Hernandezes and others. I mean, those were some of the better ones, believe it or not. But the way the Giants do it now, like the other day when they had their righty starting lineup, the guys coming off the bench, it's ridiculous. They've got Tommy La Stella, Alex Dickerson. I think they had Mike Yastrzemski coming off the bench, but he usually starts no matter who's on the mound. But so La Stella, Dickerson, Belt. This is an extremely deep bench, and that's because this is the way they've built their roster. So last night, they had their lefty starting lineup that had, you know, La Stella leading off, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Belt, just stacked up with a bunch of lefties. And then they're able to pinch hit with Austin Slater in a big spot, and he had a huge hit, by the way. Wilmer Flores, Donovan Solano, and Mauricio Dubon. So the guys coming off the bench are high-quality players. I mean, they're not superstars, but especially when you give them that platoon advantage, they're in a good spot. And so if they just can continue to do that, and every single at-bat has a quality player, and the vast majority of the at-bats have the platoon advantage. And actually last year, I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but I saw a note that I believe the Giants had the platoon advantage in more of their at-bats than any other team. I actually could be misremembering that. But what I do know is that when they had the platoon advantage, the Giants did extremely well, and that their pinch hitters did extremely well. And it's not a coincidence. It's not just like, oh, they got kind of lucky or random good performance by their pinch hitters. It's that they're aggressive with pinch hitting. And we saw this in a huge way last night, that the Giants are so aggressive with pinch hitting pretty much more than any other team, I think. We'll have to get into these numbers as the season goes on. But I mean, so like I said, the Giants had their lefty lineup to start the game against the righty starter Castillo, but then the Reds went to Sean Doolittle, and this is where it all started. And then they went to a righty after that, and then a lefty, and then a couple of righties, it looks like. But against Doolittle, they pinch hit Wilmer Flores for Brandon Belt. I think he made it out, but then Evan Longoria comes up. He has the platoon advantage, and he hits another home run. So he has just been stellar against left-handed pitching. And then I think Crawford makes an out, Posey reaches, and then it's Wade Jr.'s spot, and there's a lefty Doolittle on the mound, and they go to Austin Slater. So it's kind of an aggressive decision, given that there are already 2 outs and just a runner on first, but you don't want that weak matchup of Lamont Wade Jr. against a lefty reliever. So they go to Slater, and then Reds manager David Bell decides he does not want that matchup. He's afraid of Slater versus Doolittle, so he goes and gets a righty, and Slater hits a triple into Triple's Alley. So, I mean, he didn't have the platoon advantage, but the wheels were in motion, and David Bell was forced to make a move to deal with the move that the Giants made. So that's a perfect illustration of why we should believe this stuff works, because opposing managers are like, we don't want to have to give you that advantage. We need to make a counter move. And thankfully, someone like Slater, you know, he wants to prove he can hit righties, and he did right there. The biggest hit of the year, I would say, for Slater. And I said before the game on Twitter that they need to get Yastrzemski and Slater going. These guys did so well leading off innings, leading off games for the Giants last year, and both have been slumping mightily. And I said, as they go, the Giants will go. And that's what happened last night. Yastrzemski and Slater led the way, as did a number of others. So we'll talk about more individual players, expected results, actual results, and all of that next. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football and college basketball might be over, but the NBA, NHL, and MLB are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Lots of baseball action you can get in on at BetOnline. We'll be talking about it a lot as the season goes on. I feel like there's some opportunities there, so go and check out what they've got to offer. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, as promised, we're going to look at some individual players. Like we did this yesterday where we talked about team results and expected results, but we didn't get into any individual player. So I regretted that a little bit, and we're going to do some of that right now. But first, be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So yeah, I want to look at some of these offensive numbers overall. There's a lot of talk. Another one of my pet peeves, if you heard me yesterday, I said one of my big pet peeves was including pitchers when we're comparing National League teams to American League teams. Just not fair. You just can't have the pitcher in the lineup if you're doing that. But another one of my pet peeves is when we just talk about team batting average as the best way to evaluate an offense. I mean, my goodness, people, it's 2021. Not all batting averages are created equal. You could be hitting 200 and having 100% singles, or you could be hitting 200 and having 100% home runs. Those two things are not remotely similar. If you're hitting 200, but all of your hits are home runs, you're going to be the best offense in all of baseball. You're going to score the most runs of any team. So let's stop doing that. We need to, if you want just one number, at least one step up would be at least on base percentage, but even that is not perfect. If you really want to keep it simple and you want just one number, OPS is fine. OPS is fine. It's just on base plus slugging. So you're counting walks and you're attempting to give credit for extra base hits. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that the non-pitcher league average player right now has a .238 batting average, a .319 on base, and a .401 slugging. So those are kind of dismal offensive numbers. So we need to be aware, though, of what league average is, because we're so often saying like, oh, this team is awful. They're hitting .230. But you know what? That's average right now. .238 is the average offensive player right now in baseball. I realize I'm talking about batting average, but that's just because I'm trying to relate to those who want to use batting average as the number one thing. So anyway, yeah. I'm going to keep saying that. .238 is the league average batting average. .319 is the league average OBP. So these are not great numbers. But then we'll look at some Giants players. Well, actually, to start, the Giants overall. The Giants non-pitcher batting line, they're hitting .214, so not that much below the league average. .305 on base, which is about 15 points below average. But a .408 slugging, which is above average. So when you're able to achieve an above average slugging with a below average, that means that you're hitting for even more power than the slugging might suggest. So as I keep saying, yeah, they're seventh in isolated power, which is slugging minus batting average. And overall, their weighted runs created plus, which is an all-encompassing offensive metric with 100 being league average, Giants are at 98, so just 2% below average offense, counting last night's game. So I think we can stop suggesting they've been dreadful offensively. They've been roughly average. Mike Yastrzemski is no longer their worst offensive player, as he was for a while. With last night's performance, he's actually up to a 73 weighted runs created plus, which is not very good. It's 27% below average. But, you know, there's a lot of unsustainability to what we're seeing. He has a 200 average on balls in play. That number's going to come up to probably above 300. And the isolated power is fine at 189. Other kind of below average performers thus far have been Alex Dickerson, but it's kind of the same thing. The power has been good, but he's just not getting a lot of hits on balls in play, which is very much likely to change in his favor. Brandon Belt, he's drawing a lot of walks, but that's been about it. He's not getting a lot of hits, and he's not been hitting for that much power. Wilmer Flores and Mauricio Dubon have been the Giants' worst offensive players. Dubon, and this is from a results perspective, Dubon has a 124 weighted on base average, but a 333 expected weighted on base average. So he's been, it looks like, their most unlucky player. Alex Dickerson, I mean, he has a 300 weighted on base average, a 420 expected weighted on base average. For as good as Evan Longoria has been, the expected results have been even better. And the eye test matches up with that because just a couple nights ago, he had a couple of balls that were caught on the warning track that were hit really, really well. Same thing with Posey. He has expected results that exceed his actual results, even though he's been 36% above average. Solano has expected results below his actual results. Solano, I'm a little bit concerned about not hitting for any power and relying on a 435 average on balls in play just to be 13% above average. So Solano needs to hit for a little bit more power and strike out less. He's actually been striking out more than we would expect. Tommy La Stella has kind of been as advertised to me. I mean, right away, these numbers have kind of stabilized for La Stella. 10.5% walk rate, 5.3% strikeout rate. I really enjoy watching Tommy La Stella's at-bats. And he's hit for some power, a 176 isolated power, and overall 62% above average. So it's been great to see La Stella getting some more consistent playing time. He should be back in there today against a righty starter. Crawford has really good expected numbers and only mediocre actual numbers. He's hitting 171, but the isolated power is 314, which is off the charts good. So I could go on and on. Austin Slater has actually achieved league average status, but he needs to strike out less and just get back to what he was doing last year, which I believe he can do, but he hasn't really done it yet, except last night he had a couple of really good at-bats, and that was great to see. Just to wrap up this game, I have to say that Jake McGee, a.k.a. McCheese, with his fifth save, and he has yet to allow a hit or a run. So he has been phenomenal. Tyler Rogers had a dominant inning in the eighth also. Three strikeouts, gave up a hit. Wandy Peralta gave up a run, gave up the lead, and somehow gets credited with the win. So if you want to tell me that pitcher wins are a great stat, just look no further than Peralta getting the win last night. So anyway, that wraps up this game. They take on the Reds for game three of this series. As I said, they'll either be 5-1 on the homestand or 4-2. So either way, a good homestand and then an off day tomorrow. So we'll talk about today's game tomorrow. So be sure to come back for that. And then we'll have a mailbag on Friday ahead of the road trip that starts in Miami. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. So if you can spare the time to do so, smash that 5-star button and leave a review if you have the time. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you next time.